Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we're here as usual on Sunday morning, live with you for this unfolding conversation of ongoingness that we're all in together. And this morning we have this wonderful source by Cassandra Moore and Norman Fisher that Justin selected about sitting still. And thank you all for being here as usual and being open to our sources. And Justin, thank you for us as well. I think we always welcome each other's sources. There hasn't been one yet where we've gone, no, I'm not talking about that. So anyway, I'm grateful for that it's a shared thing. And it's not like it's one of us trying to find the sources all the time, but it's backwards and forwards. And if you haven't been here before, you'll get to know that we do alternate week source selection. So 1 week I choose a source and 1 week Justin chooses a source, and we go in that rhythm. And if you haven't figured that out yet, whoever chooses the source is not the one who says hello in the beginning. So before we come on live, we say, right, I chose a source, so you're saying hello. That's the extent of our planning. And it's a very big joy to do the same thing every week like this, Justin, with you.
Thanks, Lizzie. And good morning, everyone. Afternoon, evening, welcome, however you're joining us. Yeah, this process, Lizzie, of choosing a source and then talking about it, one of the things I have so loved about this conversation is the simplicity of this practice. There's really nothing fancy about it, and yet it opens up enormous depths every time. And I was thinking this week, I've been feeling a little bit like a magpie with sources, because sometimes I've had things stacked up for a while that I really wanted to bring, and then some weeks I'm sort of just keeping my eye out for whatever comes into view and trusting that whatever comes our way will be something. And that's been the magic. I think it's, I mean, in a way, it's only occurring to me now, that one of the magic aspects of this practice that we've been in, that we then get to share with other people, with all of you who are listening, is the very, very straightforward magic of being in relationship and being in conversation. That the source is, we don't have to find something super clever or super deep every time. Sometimes they are super clever or super deep or both. But something is here between us, no matter what we find. So I really trust that, which I think is also why we haven't had a source yet where either of us have gone, no, 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 I'm not talking about that. I mean, I know we're paying attention. They're not random. And we're being sensitive to what will support this project, this conversation. So I'm really excited to bring this source. And for all of you who are with us, you can always find the text of the source. We have a lovely website called turningtowards.life. You can find the sources there. And we have a Facebook group that you're very welcome to join, where this goes out live, and you'll find it there. And we also post it in the notes that go out with all the podcast versions of this. So this is a short piece by Cassandra Moore and Norman Fisher, which, as you say, Lizzie, is about sitting still. And in particular, they're both writing about a form of practice, which is really just sitting, with being the ones who take some time to sit and do nothing else apart from be present. And I love this piece, partly because a sitting practice is something that's been so important to me over the years, and something I also really struggle with, something I love and find very, very difficult indeed. And it seemed wonderful to bring that into our field together. So here it is, Why Sit Still? The point of sitting through anything is to cultivate trust in our own strength and ability to meet whatever arises in our lives, and to know that we can welcome everything, resist nothing, and allow it all fully into our hearts without walking away. The point of sitting is to see just how equipped we are at dealing with the unknowable and with what feels intolerable. And then we might feel able to offer our presence and strength to others. You're suffering the insufferable? Okay, I'll go there with you. I'll help you hold that. I will not abandon you. I began a sitting practice because I felt gutted and ill-equipped to meet the circumstances of my life, much less anyone else's. I know you felt abandoned by someone who could not meet you in your darkest hour. I felt it too, and it breaks my heart to see how I've been an abandoner as well. Yet I feel a becoming and a transition that I feel only the persistence of residency has allowed, a turning outward and the cultivation of, I hope, an ability to not abandon the world or others in painful service to my own wounds.
The point of sitting through anything is to cultivate trust in our own strength and ability to meet whatever arises in our lives, and to know that we can become everything. Sorry, we can welcome everything, resist nothing, and allow it all fully into our hearts without walking away. The point of sitting is to see just how equipped we are at dealing with the unknowable and with what feels intolerable. And then we might feel able to offer our presence and strength to others. You're suffering the insufferable? Okay, I'll go there with you. I'll help you hold that. I will not abandon you. I began a sitting practice because I felt gutted and ill-equipped to meet the circumstances of my life, much less anyone else's. I know you felt abandoned by someone who could not meet you in your darkest hour. I felt it too. And it breaks my heart to see how I've been an abandoner as well. Yet I feel a becoming and a transition that I feel only the persistence of residency has allowed, a turning outward and the cultivation of, I hope, an ability not to abandon the world or others in painful service to my own wounds.
Thank you, Lizzie. I love this line. The point of sitting is to see how equipped we are at dealing with the unknowable, and then we might feel able to offer our presence and strength to others. When I got first introduced to the very simple sitting practice that we invite everyone who comes on our professional coaching course to take up, when I did the program myself, just counting in my mind, trying to figure out what year it is, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, something like that. And I remember thinking, oh, what a delicious thing this is going to be. I'm going to sit for 20 minutes or half an hour really quietly by myself, and I don't have to do anything. And it's going to be the biggest relief. And I think it was the biggest relief for about 10 seconds before I started to feel how much there was going on inside me. And all of these years later, through sort of all the ups and downs of keeping this practice going, and sometimes not doing it anymore, and sometimes every day sitting quietly for a while, and sometimes, gosh, how much there is going on inside me all the time. And that's fine, of course. Maybe it's just completely not surprising that there's stuff going on inside us all the time. But the thing that I notice about it that's I'm really tuned into from Cassandra and Norman's writing is not just how much is going on inside me, but how much of my effort goes into not feeling some of the things that are going on inside me all the time. And when I stop and look, I can see that there are very often parts of me that are working really, really hard. It's like two whirlwinds or something. It's one that's going like this, you know, round and round and round and round, and then there's another one that's trying to stop it or suppress it so I don't feel it. And it's an enormous amount of activity. And I was yesterday, Lizzie, I was sitting very quietly, just doing this practice, sitting very quietly next to a small lake on Hampstead Heath near where I live. In about 15 minutes in to sitting, I really caught on that this was going on inside me. And something inside me, I think probably because I'd been reading this, went, this is all just a giant defense strategy. I could hear this arising in me. This is just a way of not taking part, of not having to feel everything else that's going on. And it all quietened down inside me, which was such a relief. To find it going quiet. And that is, it's such a thing for me to see how much my own inner system generates noise so that I won't have to feel what's going on. And right now, I'm feeling so often so much that's going on in the world around, and then all of this rises to kind of try to make it go away. So I'm very, very grateful to have come across a practice where I can practice noticing what's going on inside and then practice staying with it and sort of being attentive to it. And then now and again, I get these moments where I see through what's going on. And in the quiet yesterday, I could feel how much I want to be open to the world and how much I want to be the one who does this that Cassandra and Norman write. You're suffering the insufferable. Okay, I'll go there with you. I'll help you hold that. I will not abandon you. Oh my goodness, what a gift it is for us humans to be the ones who won't abandon one another. And how ordinary it is for us to abandon one another and ourselves without even knowing that that's what we're doing. So as I'm saying this to you, Lizzie, I'm feeling doubly committed to, I can see that for me, I have to keep practicing this. This is not something that ever, you know, oh, I reach the point where I'm no longer going to abandon myself or anyone else. I really have to practice this if I want to be someone who stays.
Mm. Yeah, I feel very moved by this, the last line, turning outward and the cultivation of, I hope, an ability not to abandon the world of others in painful service to my own wounds. Somehow the clarity with what you've just said in that sentence, that when I'm turning away from myself or another, it's because I'm in service to my own wounds. I think that feels so clear to me in that moment that that's what happens. And I feel like a practice like this, and there are many others, of course, too, that bring us in contact with something other than our wounds, other than our structures, other than our relationships, other than our circumstances, are so profoundly important to have anything else other than those patterns be present in the way that we choose to act and the way that we choose to be with each other, the way that we choose to live. And as you say, this is such a simple one that's also really hard, that leaves us in contact with something other than our normal stuff, the normal content of our lives. And sometimes it's tiny, and sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it's like, I'm not in contact with anything other than just feeling terrible, you know, and yet there's a way that the stillness and the nothingness and the question I always ask myself, which is, what's it like to be me today? Like, what am I today? What is this? And just let myself be in a question for a while is a question that I'm clearly not asking at other times. You know, I it's so easy to be asleep, so easy to be trundling along and being my habitual self. And so to have the structure and the permission almost to say, well, what is this? What am I? Who am I? And be fine if there are absolutely zero answers to that question, by the way. But just know that a question is enough in one of these moments of stopping. It feels like there is a kind of hope, because I know all of the ways I also get very embroiled in other people's things. So when someone's in pain, I'm in pain, or when they're wounded, I can feel wounded, and it leaves me pretty helpless to be present in the way that would be helpful. And so to have a way of being in contact with something other than the pain, other than the difficulty in myself, allows me the possibility of being with somebody and not being in the same pain as they are. And in any time when there's difficulty going along, if I'm collapsed by my wounds or collapsed by my own stuff, I can't really be helpful in that moment to someone else. I'm thinking of that moment which I mentioned, I think, last week, Justin, of somebody being in profound and immediate grief. And if all I can think about is, well, what about me? What about my awkwardness or my anxiety or my not knowing what to say? That person gets left unattended to. And I just feel like that's not okay anymore. that it's more about me than it is about the person suffering. And so this gives us a kind of a practical way in to being in contact with something that isn't our anxiety, that isn't our neurosis, that isn't our self-oriented what about me-ness, and into some kind of presence that can be there for us as well as something that we can make contact with in order to be in service to someone else in their moments of difficulty.
Mm. Yeah, you've got me thinking about, I think the first way I find to talk about it is not really the way I want to talk about it, but it's kind of a beginning, which is a sort of a middle way that we can practice, which is when faced with the difficulty of the world, or maybe particularly what you're talking about, faced with someone else who is suffering, as we all are, one way that some of us go is to get caught up and wrapped up in that suffering and feeling it ourselves very strongly, which is really, as you said, feeling our own wounds rather than feeling the situation the other person is in. And some others of us, and I suppose this is the one that I know more familiarly, as a kind of tuning out in service of my own wounds. I can't stay present with this because I'm feeling my own thing and I don't want to feel my own thing, so I'll not feel anything at all and I'm gone. And those are sort of two ends of a continuum of possibilities, and somewhere that's either in between, or maybe better said underneath, or maybe better said includes both, is finding that there's something of us, and you kept talking about this, finding the something of us that isn't caught up in either of those ways, you know, that might feel all of these different kinds of involvement with what's going on, the kind of deep, I'm feeling the same thing as you, or the deep, I'm trying to get out of it kind of response, and is able to welcome even that. And when I practice sitting and just sitting quietly, what I notice I'm doing more and more is practicing welcome. So I'm actively taking up a, what is it to be the one who welcomes whatever's here? And I'm starting to learn that involves welcoming, including welcoming all my own reactions and reactiveness and habitualness on the inside that's happening. So when I'm with you and I'm grieving and I'm feeling my own grief and I'm trying to avoid my own grief, it really helps to welcome that part of me that is grieving and the part of me that's trying desperately hard to avoid the grief. And the moment I welcome both of those, as well as welcoming you and your suffering, something a way, 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 way bigger space begins to open. Like the, and I suppose what I'm coming to see is that there's a behind or beneath all of the different parts of us that get caught up in those ways that sort of merge with one with others or and situations or try to avoid, behind all of those, to be a human is to be, it really is to be a kind of, to have the possibility of always being a loving, welcoming presence, and that the loving, welcoming presence that we are is underneath all the rest of it, but also very often obscured by the intensity of all these parts of me, at least, which are trying to manage or control or manipulate the situation so that it goes a certain way, or so I don't have to feel a particular way. And when I started to practice this, just sitting and being quiet and following my breath and staying, it felt to me like what I was trying to do was to kind of clear myself out, like you would spring clean a room. You know, I'm going to brush all the corners, I'm going to get all the dust out and everything. But now it seems to me that really what it is it's love.
Mm.
That what enables us to do this, to stay, is finding out that underneath all of the turmoil and all of that, we're not emptiness, that we're actually love.
That throws me immediately, Justin, into this practice of doing this together with people, and how in my experience of doing it on my own versus my experience of doing it with others, feeling held because other people are present inside the practice with me is so very supportive. You know, it feels like on my own, it's just as confronting, but I'm not separate as much as I thought I was. Like it feels like it's not just about me. Like there's some energetic holding that helps me to be with. And so when you said love, I thought, yes, I can feel that presence both in myself, but in others too. And when I can feel the presence of others, it's a support to me to be in this. And also, what a crazy and lovely way of being together, which would just be to be together without using any words. But you're still fully being with each other, to be in a practice where you could sit and breathe together and be in each other's presence and make contact with this love, as you're calling it, more, and then also be in conversation about it. I don't know about you, but if I sit still for any number of minutes, all kinds of things arise to be shared and processed and understood, and which are confusing. And I think that's what's so extraordinary about us, is that there is so much. We are filled with our characters, our stories, our histories, our everythingness. And it feels like there's so much to say. I mean, I have this weekly, and I know you do this too, this internal family systems sessions that I do. And I always turn up and I think, oh no, maybe there's nothing to talk about today. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well, yes, there's this. Even if it just starts with a sensation or a small thought about something, once it begins to unravel what I am, this, and in a way I see those times where it's about me as this huge big encounter with the mystery of me. I mean, I learn stuff about myself all the time that I literally had no idea about. Like I surprised myself at myself. And so I think, you know, you said this is a sitting, this sitting thing is not to be done to get somewhere, but it's just an everydayness. It feels like those practices that are for every day and not to achieve something are so vital for actually making contact with ourselves. We're unfathomably huge and mysterious, with these huge, massive backgrounds of life. And so I feel like it's also completely crucial to let that flow. Like I can feel the pressure in me that builds if I don't have anywhere to take my things, if I don't have the relationships or the spaces that are mine or the groups or whatever, to be in the processing of life. It's too much for this human to hold. There's a way that the processing of it is a dignifying and an honoring and a saying yes and agreeing with the mystery and the grandness of one being. And then in doing that, in that kind of self-understanding and being in my own conversation that's just mine with other people, feels like a kind of, well, it's an admission of my complexity, an admission of my mystery, a kind of seeing of myself that then allows me to be present in a whole other way for myself and for other people.
Mm. Yes, I really love this. I've mostly, since I came across it, had a daily sitting practice as described here by Cassandra and Norman that I do on my own because of the way it fits into my daily schedule. I don't always know exactly when it's going to happen. I can't always guarantee that there are other people around and all of that. And sitting quietly on my own is sometimes very extraordinary and beautiful, and sometimes very, very, very hard. And in both cases, it's because of something you said, I think, which is that I and all of us, this is becoming clearer and clearer to me and really amplified by what you said. We are whole universes on the inside. Mm. And a lot of us don't get much support in knowing that. So it's sort of our inner, this inner universe that we are gets somehow either ignored by our culture or explained away in very simplistic ways, or it's, or in a way we're taught is it something we have to sort of control or get on top of. Or I mean, there's this whole thing of teaching meditation practice in companies so that people won't feel, which is the back to front of what we're talking about here, so that people won't feel anything too much, so they can get on with doing difficult things that may not be very good for them or anyone, which is the sort of tuning out, the whole tuning up. But if we sit quietly, it sometimes feels to me like we are, there are galaxies and galaxies inside us. So I'm very touched by your reminder that something happens when we gather together and sit quietly with one another and then talk about it, talk about what's here, or when we have people with whom we can talk about what's going on inside. And actually, I was noticing it whilst you were speaking, Lizzie, that there's also a way that we can be with one another, because the way we do this practice is by making space for one another to speak. And we're not in the practice here of interrupting one another or jumping in the middle of something. When I'm with you and listening to you and I'm letting myself fall really quiet inside, I'm hearing you and also feeling my own inner mystery all at the same time. So I'm just wondering, I mean, maybe thinking of everyone who's with us, who's listening, maybe there are many people who have practices like this, a chance to be quiet together. But I know for me, those moments when I've done it, I've done that, it's also really beautiful to be quietly together, knowing that inside each person is a vast world unfolding. I mean, when we really understand that we are unfolding universes carried around somehow, there's a body that holds this together. But we're not just surfaces, and we're certainly not things. And that if we could see with different eyes, we would see one another as constellations of deep, deep wonder and mystery. And as we start to see that in ourselves and one another, maybe we also find ourselves a little more able to do what Cassandra and Norman are inviting us into, which is to welcome everything and resist nothing and allow it fully into our hearts. Because there is also something about knowing, when we know our own vastness, we also know that we can hold a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of space to hold what's here, to be present. We don't need to run from it. We don't need to protect ourselves from it. Yeah. Certainly not from hearing one another and being with one another.
Yeah. That's exactly where I was just transported to in myself, Justin, was as I encounter more and more of my vastness, it gets so much easier to be with whatever is here, because it's not all crowded in a certain space trying to get land. There's ways that I can see from different places, like I could inhabit this part or that part and look at it from that way, in that way, or there's options. There's like a lot of options and a lot of space. And when I know that you're that too, I know that you have the space, that there are frontiers, there are places to go beyond. There is a beyond, always a beyond. Which means that stuckness has a way forward. That when we find ourselves eddying around, we're eddying in a massive context. It's not that that's what we are or something. I'm really feeling the gift of this mutual vastness. You know, whether we know it or not, whether we're conscious of it or not, a being is a being is a being is a being. A human one is a human being. So closing our eyes and encountering ourselves in practice like this, and then the vastness of us becoming more and more available, it feels like a common possibility for us all, like that it's real for us all. And so I can have faith that you've got space inside of you, and I can have faith that I've got space inside of me, so that all of the things that I'm trying to fit you into become just these small things in the context of something bigger, rather than the truth or something. But then the word truth starts to become a little bit questionable, and you don't have to be anything to be part of my world, because the vastness includes all of the things. So I'm feeling really curious about my vastness, your vastness, that you're a universe, that I'm a universe, that everybody I meet today will be a universe. Which, as I say it, I'm like, well, of course they're a universe. Because the minute you get into a conversation with someone and you ask them about their history or where they come from or anything, it's like, oh, here we go, the universe. You know, there's always something. So I'm feeling really glad of this, the wideness of this conversation and the kind of contact it's giving me to the vastness of life.
Mm. That's so beautiful, Lizzie. And I'm left as we end with this, inspired by what you just said, to this commitment that if, as we know and we get to trust our own vastness, and we can trust the vastness of other people as well, that we don't have to turn away so much, that if I'm feeling all the parts of me that in some way don't want to include something you've said or done or something about you, I can really trust that there's space in me to include you and to stay open to you, that I don't need to close myself down to protect myself from you in that way, because I can hold it all, which leaves me feeling enormously hopeful about us humans, that although sometimes we get very contracted and defended and make life really hard for ourselves and other people, there's also a way that we can open endlessly to one another.
Yeah.
And thank you as always, Lizzie, for being in this conversation. And thank you everyone, all of you who are with us, joining us. And I want to say, as always, as we end, we're very, very grateful that you're here, and you are so welcome to let other people know about this conversation. There are almost 250 previous ones that you can go and find out on our website and on the podcast, but there are many more to come. And if you imagine that anyone else you know would benefit from being in this conversation, please feel very, very welcome to introduce them to it. And all being well, we will be back same time next week.
Bye, everybody.